Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Amen. Celebrate the house of Judah, please, for me. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to celebrate the person, shake the hands of the person standing beside you, the brother, the sister, the young child. Today, we are all children in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please take your seats for a few minutes. No long preaching today. Amen. And I hope my mic is coming off clearly at the back. All right. Now, I was so touched by the session that Pastor Kenny handled with the cell pastors. And every cell is a mini church. It's a mini church on its own. You know why you were talking, Brother Pat? In fact, I think Femi needs to preach on this altar very soon. On a Sunday, and maybe Brother Pat. I was just listening to pastors. Amen. When Brother Pat, Pastor Charles, I say, blessed I don't know, though. So, Femi, very soon you will hear from me. Amen. And Brother Pat, Pastor Charles is, we should just open the church there and throw him there. Go. So I will know those of us that are left. Amen. Amen. It's such a great blessing. And did you learn something from that session? I also touched. I started thinking about when I first became a Christian. Then it occurred to me while Brother Pat was, speaking, that the reason why I actually remained a Christian was because of the cell. It didn't occur to me, but as he was talking, I started remembering. I got born again in the prayer meeting, not a real service. Just a prayer meeting in a classroom, Command Secondary School. So, but after then, what I realized was the brothers, they came around me. Most of them were my seniors. I was in JSS 1. But they came close to me. They didn't treat me like, he's a small boy. No. You can imagine my son is in JSS 2. So you can imagine somebody of my son's height with an SS 3 student. Can you see that gap? SS 2, SS 3, SS 1. But they'll come to the class and check on me. Then when they are going to pray, they ask me to come. I got baptized in the Spirit on a mountain. It was God that saved me that day that I didn't fall. The way they just gave me the impression, you are like us. Have faith. Thinking back, it was that community, Brother Biodun, Brother Lawrence, Brother Humphrey, all those brothers. If God uses somebody to bless you, you can't forget their name. This is as far back as the early 90s. But I can't forget. The name is here. I wish I can see them. I actually pray for them that they are still in the faith, because my first raw demonstration of power was with those people. Brother Anthony, oh my God. The way they came around. So when you were speaking, when a friend was speaking, I was remembering a lot of things. And I realized that, wow, the cell structure is God's design for depth. When you want to be deep in God, where you want to test your gift of the Spirit. If you have the gift of prophecy, it's not in front of 100 people you will come and try. You go to cell. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the midst of these people. When I gave my life to Christ, they encouraged me to share my testimony. And I came to the fellowship. So I thank God last Thursday, yesterday, during the prayer meeting, I gave my life to Christ. Wow. People came around, they hugged me. It was like, something wonderful. No discrimination. Even if your house is in Parkview, there's somewhere called Parkview. On the, if you know, you know. From Parkview, you can go to heaven straight. Now, if you are able to have somebody there invite you, because they have to invite you. If you, that was the place I went to visit Papa Chris Devon. And I saw a swimming pool beside the parlor. This is the parlor, then swimming pool, then dining, then kitchen. It's a very big body. So then it's amazing. Amen. You don't want to miss heaven. On my mind, I was all looking at this like, how can swimming pool be beside parlor? So when you are talking and watching TV, you can be seeing the pool, but it's inside the house. Ah, I say, I beg. If we cannot live in Parkview, we must not miss heaven. Amen. So it was a wonderful sight. But when we got there, the owner of the property was a medical doctor. While waiting for Papa Devon, everybody became equal. We sat on the chair, sat on the floor. Pastor Devon came, sat down, started prophesying to everybody. Under that kind of atmosphere, you can prophesy. Prophesy to everybody. It was in that meeting he told me, say, God said, I've now opened the gate, you will start traveling. That was what he said to me. The next 48 hours, that was when I traveled for PFN conference in Adamawa, over 1,000 pastors. Today, I still have relationships from those people. You know, it's one thing when you are preaching to church members, but when you are preaching to 1,000, 1,200 pastors and their wives, for the meeting was supposed to be for 2 sessions, I ended up having 5 sessions. They just loved me. Even though I was wearing body hug, they said, this Lagos pastor. But by the time I started ministry, they say, it's like, this body hug is just a deception. There's something inside. So it was, I look back, I now realize that I didn't actually become like this alone. There were people around me who unconsciously or consciously are part of that story. It is your Christian brother or your Christian sister that will hear you, talk about your weakness, and they will not expose you. They will cover you and help you, not take it to Insta blog. Huh? Then when God now wanted to promote me, I was made a cell leader. I just finished WAEC. So my pastor promoted me to a cell leader. Say, Brother Gbinga can do it. Some people didn't like it, but he insisted. Oh! And that was the cell where I became so encouraged, because there was a brother, an elderly man, who was a chain smoker. He's always reeking of cigarette. But when I became a cell leader, he was the most consistent member. Even the ordained ministers in the area, they don't come before him. Then when they moved me out of the cell, the man went to the pastor and said, it is because of this boy that I dropped cigarette. Say, this person you have brought, I'm not sure she has the anointing. That, they talked about it. The man died recently with cigarette in his mouth. Now, this is like 20 years ago. Don't tell me that when we all get to heaven, God will overlook that matter. Don't tell me, because God is about souls. The way you open your shop and you expect to make profit is the way God is expecting profit of souls. Is somebody with me now? So it's not a joking matter. Hey, okay, you are the pastor, then you are playing Paul. You are the one that said they should remove you. Now the man died, even though his wife was an ordained pastor. But the man died with cigarette as a very old person. Maybe what God just wanted me to do was, before getting admission, settle this matter. But I didn't stay long there. The man was already, getting free. Then they transferred me. And till the day the man died, the day I heard in Lagos last year that the man died, I asked, was he in the Lord? They said no. So the cell system can be the instrument to break yoke, set people free. So it's a full-blown church, just that 5 people, 10 people, 5 people, 10 people. Max, 15. Because when it's getting to 20, it's too big. So 15. Everybody will know each other, you help each other. Your commitment is to that person, like Pastor Charles said, because that person is Christ. You are seeing Christ. Even though it's physical condition, may not be what Christ should be. But you have hope, and you are seeing that this person, this bottle of Gouda that I'm saying, he will drop it. He will drop it. Hallelujah. So it's a blessed thing. This is one of the ways. Look at Peter. Jesus told him, you'll be the head of my church. But Jesus didn't tell him his church will start from 3,000 members. So what do you think a Peter would do? Jesus didn't teach Peter self-fellowship. They hand over the church to you, thinking you had 120 members, only to wake up by the end of the day, you notice you are 3,120, including the mother of Jesus. So that means that's the potential. If you have a 120, the potential of any church that is 120 is actually 3,000. Come on, are you with me? Are you with me? If you have a group of believers like we are here now, the potential of that church, once you hit 100, 120, is actually 3,000. And God only needs one man there to bring in 3,000. So imagine all of us are like Peter. Come on, say, I have the capacity. Come on, say, I'm not small inside. Come on, say it yourself, I'm not small inside. You've got to see it. You've got to know it. You've got to believe it. It's beautiful to serve God. I mean, all these guys that I'm talking about, they are not here now. But I can never forget them. I keep praying for them. Lord, I hope they are still alive. I hope maybe one day God, our path will cross. But if it doesn't cross, we'll meet in heaven. Imagine now I'm here now. You know, I was attending a church. The church I attended last, before I started this church, I used to sit there in the congregation. I was the head of marriage ministry. But I always sit there in the church. Sometimes when the pastor is preaching, he will just notice like, say, we need the Holy Spirit to move. He will just preach, come to where I sit. He will just do the mic like this. I will just collect the mic. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 5 minutes, the church has scattered. I just return the mic. That's how we preach in that church. The man was not many things, but he was sensitive. He knows that, okay, if you want the church to scatter, it's not me, it's this man. So he would just give me a chance and go and sit down. But the man never knew that I was in that church for about 7-8 years. The man never knew that I had churches inside of me. Yeah. Somebody here now. Yes, nobody will see your potential, though. Yes, they can only suspect. Is somebody still here? Yes, nobody knew. I was there sitting somewhere at the back. I'm only sitting at the back. Somewhere like towards the, just like where Alfred is sitting, taking my notes. Nobody knew that the same length of time I spent in that church was what I needed outside to start 3 churches. Now, somebody gave us a land somewhere in Jos. So maybe next year we'll start a church in Jos. You understand? So maybe very soon we'll start, maybe in less than a year or so, we'll start a church in the UK. So it's just, is your potential. Eh? It will not, it's not one day. It starts from those little, you know, opportunity that you get in the cell, where you are able to go out 2 by 2, share the gospel, where you are able to ask questions. Then when you rub minds together, you can look at the scripture like a short Bible study. I remember when I travel, Pastor Charles, most times if we sleep in the same hotel, we do Bible study overnight. And look at scripture. You will not know how valuable those moments are until you now become a big man and you don't have anybody to be doing Bible study with again. Okay, everybody say, man of God. No, it's not. You are looking forward to that time when you can sit down and just be with your brothers, your sisters, you know. So we can revive those things. Amen? Can revive. And like Femi said, and it was so profound, you cannot move away from bad friends until you have good friends. So there's no vacuum. And when after this love series, I'm going to start, I don't know, maybe nine part series of Understand the Spiritual Realm. I will come and explain why people are free, but they are still possessed. One, a whole message. You will now understand that everything God does and everything Satan does is within the confines of a particular principle. The reason why Satan can come to God and say, the reason why Job is serving you is because you are blessing him, is because of a particular principle. So you need yourself. You need Christian brothers, especially in these days that we are in. You cannot be a Christian by yourself. When you are trying to be, I say, I just need my privacy, I want to be alone. Instagram is doing like this. And then you go to those reels. You can be there watching people dancing for the next 1 hour. Dancing. The one mind will tell you, go to TikTok. That one is the grandfather of reels. You now go to this one. You see very terrible people. You just danced. You realize all the remaining anointing you has gone down. But that is because you said you don't want space. You want to keep your space. These days you have iPhone. You have almost every, even if you're in secondary school, you have iPhone. You can have Bible study with yourselves on WhatsApp. You can just have a conference call, two or three of your friends, and you just have a chat. Okay. Say, so I was reading this scripture. What do you think? Bounce off the ideas. You grow that way. So don't be envying people that are praying 7 hours. Ask them, how did they get there? They didn't start from 7 hours. Learn how to pray. One of the ways I learned how to pray was, apart from my normal regular praying time, when I walk on the road, I walk alone. So my lips are always moving. So you learn it with time. It's not easy, but when you do it for some time, you get used to it. So when you notice you are always talking and the things you are talking about are not edifying things, it means that there's a debit and credit somewhere. Somewhere in your spiritual life, you are not praying to the degree to which you are talking. Is somebody with me now? If you are always speaking vain words, check your prayer life. Nobody that prays fervently will speak vain words. You'll be too tired for it. Yeah. So those are things that when you come to the cell, when you ask, sorry, I can't pray more than 10 minutes. Then people will begin to give you ideas on how to pray. But if you are waiting to see me, like somebody told me in our church now, she has been trying to see her pastor for 1.5 years. She only sees him on the altar. And she's a leader in church. Say, pastor is busy. But she refused to go to cell. You don't need a pastor. You understand? You need a cell. Come on, tell your neighbor you need a cell. You need a group of believers that can strengthen your faith, that can help you, that can pray with you. That's how to grow. I'm telling you, you've heard what our, maybe we should even, Pastor Kenny, let's edit this session for Brother Pat and Charles and Sister Busola. Let's edit all those sessions. We'll put it on Instagram like that, on YouTube. Let people go and listen. The Lord will help us. All right, now, today is Love Feast, and let me say one more thing. In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 27, I want us to read Acts 9, 27. I want to show you something. The principle here is that we all need people in our lives. Look at Acts 9, 27, it's on the screen. But Barnabas took him, talking about Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how Paul had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So when Paul became a Christian, he started his preaching ministry from Damascus. But because of his reputation as an evil person, you know the word devil has 99% evil. When you remove the D from devil, what's left? Evil. So they knew Paul was a devil. So even Peter is not sure about the salvation of this man. Maybe it's a trap. It took, my sister, it took Barnabas to say, this is Brother Paul. Brother. This is Brother Paul. Took him to Peter. Okay? You are just sitting here in Jerusalem. This is Brother Paul. Peter, move back. It's just like you bring a shekau to this church now. I will ask Pastor Kenny, all of them, go and check. Hope there's no bomb anywhere. They should check very well. Then move my car outside. And all the cars to the next company. You know, we have to. So you can imagine how somebody will hold the hand of a Paul. They say he's born again, he said, but it's a trap. Peter will say, when I prayed, God has not spoken to me. But he took a Barnabas. This is Brother Paul. The Lord has appeared to him on the way of Damascus. It was the recommendation of Barnabas. Barnabas was the spiritual father of Paul. Without a Barnabas, there will be no Paul. Because it was the presentation of Barnabas that made the church headquarters accept Paul. Then they now recommended him for ministry. He said, when they saw the grace of God that was in me, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. We need people. Yes, recommendation can come in the cell. Hallelujah. Because sometimes someone says, Pastor, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for, but it's not that there's no work, but I'm looking at you. You are not disciplined. So to recommend such a person, sometimes you are scared. But in the cell, people know you. Maybe the person thinking you are not disciplined is making a mistake. But at the cell, Brother Pat can look at you and say, she can do it, she can do it, she can do it. Don't worry, I will stand for her. This is Brother Paul. Say the Lord has appeared to him in the way. But Peter did not believe that one. But when Barnabas came, he believed. Yeah. Oh, I saw Jesus. He was shining like light. Oga, we don't know what you saw, but we know Barnabas. These are some of the benefits of being in a cell. You have people that know you, people that you can call on. Late, God forbid, something happened late in the night. You have brethren that you can call. The Lord will help us. Thank you. So, imagine what now happened to Paul later in his life. Imagine that Barnabas did not stand for him. The entire Asia. Do you think there's any soul that Paul will win, that God will not credit Barnabas? Think about it. Sometimes those people you have in yourselves, they are going to be used by God in many nations. Yes. They are going to be used by God in nations that your own leg, your own feet cannot get to. The Lord will help us. Are you blessed this morning? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, beautiful scripture. Acts chapter 2, everybody likes this scripture. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. He said, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of what? Bread! That bread is not revelation, it's food. Hallelujah. I told you everybody likes this scripture. Because when they are sharing the scripture, say, and the dimension of the esoteric infestation of demonic activity can be submerged by consistent waiting upon the Lord and fasting. When you finish all that one, they'll say, bring bread. Because it will not be good to hear all these things on an empty stomach. So while they are sharing, they'll be serving one or two things to be going down with what the pastor is sharing. So we may not understand the pastor, but we understand this bread. Said they broke bread from house to house. And do you know the thing about the bread they used to eat in those days? They were very long. I think there's one bread like that is it Lagos or Ibadan? I've seen it in Ibadan, but I don't know if they have it in Lagos. Do we have it in Lagos? Yes. Very long bread. So this house fellowship of 6 people. You just hold that side and hold this side. Anywhere your hand hold, just break it. Hallelujah. You just break it. Then you say, let's pray. Father, thank you for this. If you have stew, if you have butter, but anywhere you break, that's your own. So look at it very well. They went from house to house. And if you come to my house and you eat bread, you now go to Tina's house. You cannot say you are not hungry. Bread is 1,000. So I've bought my own bread. So you cannot say, oh, because I'm coming from Brother Pa's house. No. What Jesus is teaching us is that your stomach must be large enough. When we go from house to house, there must be bread. Say amen. So you see our sister there. There's enough bread. So it's not like you will come to Mass and say you are filled or nothing like that. I know where you are coming. You are coming from Brother Pa's house. Once you reach here, I bring out my own bread. So you hold it from that side, I hold my own from this side. So you break. Anywhere you break, you must finish it. Hallelujah. There's a sense in which food encourages friendship. So even Jesus preached for 3 days and then gave them bread with fish. He even added fish. Smoked fish with pepper. So you can't be more righteous than Jesus. I say you can't be more righteous than Jesus. Jesus knows the importance of food. The final thing he did with his disciples was he broke bread. What we call the Holy Communion today. So please, when we go back to ourselves, even if it is biscuit or anzobo, let us eat. Hallelujah. I say let us what? Let us eat. If we do it in love, it is okay. Hallelujah. And if you have zobo today, next week you have water, manage it. Drink it also. It engenders friendship. It breaks the ice. Some people that will never talk will start talking. At least they will come to you, Mama, and say, Mama, thank you for the bread, though. Then you ask her, what's your name? Then you will tell her your name. You have known each other. When you see her tomorrow, you won't be saying, S-s-s. You say, Sister Tina, Sister Faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say, I need a cell. So for those of you who say you don't have any friend, it's your fault. It's your fault. If you don't have any friend, it's your fault. You can get a very good friend at the cell. Someone that we encourage you to be fervent in Christ. And that's how you find when we're on campus, when people join secret cult, you will notice that immediately they are initiated, they start spending time with the new members, new cult members. They will fry their hair. They will take them, do their hair one kind, then they change their jeans, then they start working one kind of, you know, there's a way they do. You know, Sekunle was not like this before. When you go, Kulawa, you say, fine, where are you going? Say, I'm going for accounting 202. He will answer you. But now, when you see Kule, say, Kule Alpha. Say, Alpha. He's not even waiting for your answer. He's walking away. Are they talking to you now? Waiting up. Why they touch me? No, touch me like that again. Somewhere in your mind, like, what's wrong with Kule? Kule is not your mate again. Kule has joined a cell. Come on, are you see here? I said, Kule has joined what? He has joined a cell, and the pack is stronger when they are together. Go and check wolves in the forest. When they are together, a lion cannot stay there. And there's a way they line up. You will see one, the head of the pack will be in front. They'll form like a kind of triangular, and that's how they will come at you. Most lions walk alone. But wolves, they always find their pack. So if you want to help a person that is in a group, disconnect him from that group first by bringing him into your group. Don't be the only one discipling or trying to help that person. Bring him into yourself. Let him meet Charles. Let him meet Tokwe. If he has a wife, let the wife meet Patience. Because when he begins to misbehave, the wife will call Patience. Then Patience will tell Pastor Tokwe. Then Pastor Tokwe will come and visit them like he's just passing. I say, how are you? Let's take a stroll. So, you'll come and learn that one later. So I'm just telling you that there's a strategy to it. And everything you've heard from our brothers and our sister Busola, go back and listen to it. I started heading my first cell at the age of 15. Yeah? So if you are here, you are too old. Go and start. Call me to come and dedicate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say I hear that one. Yeah. Go and start. Even if you are a first timer today, go and start. In Mende, Onigbongbo, wherever. Wasim. Call me. I'll come and dedicate it. Yes. Because we don't have enough hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the gospel must go out. There was a testimony. Well, it's not a testimony, but it's a testimony. There's a brother that died that was posted on the WhatsApp group last night. A Muslim brother. I saw his name, Abdul Fatah or Abdul something. Abu Bakr. He was a Muslim that gave his life to Christ. Right? But that was a few weeks ago. How many weeks?
2 months ago.
2 months ago. Who led him to Christ here?
Franklin,
stand up. Franklin, and okay, that was Franklin. And who? And Brother Pat. Oh, let's celebrate these people. Please stand up, sir. When you shared the gospel with that brother, did you know he was going to die 2 months later? See, the message is urgent. Time is short. If they are said, oh, because his name is Abubakar, they won't talk to him. Meanwhile, God has already seen that this brother only has, no matter what you do, he only has 2 months left. That brother now, you have won a soul, both of you. He will find himself in heaven, you know, like, how am I here? Was it the rain that fell recently? The fence fell. Abi? Fell in the house or something, on the building, and crushed him. By the time they rushed him to the hospital, it was too late. There was a rain that fell recently, and you know. But 2 months ago, these were the messengers of the Lord, Brother Pat, Brother Franklin. You are blessed. I'm telling you, you are blessed. You are blessed. One of your converts has made it to the other side. Listen, let's celebrate them. You never know. You never know. The way Satan is going after souls today, we must also be rugged about it. Yes. Brother Pat and Pastor Kenny, the evangelist, please, if you are in the evangelist, stand up. I think some of them are here, but if you are here now, stand up. Please, let's celebrate them. Okay, Pastor David is not here, Pastor Tokwe is not here, Pastor Charles is not here. We have about 7 people or 8, Pastor Adeshola, in that team. And they come every Saturday, 11 a.m. Now, if we were procrastinating, imagine. Maybe God's will was not for that brother to come to this church, because he only has 2 months left. Now, whoever coordinated that thing, you came that morning, you prayed. As you go out, Holy Spirit, lead us. All of you that went out that day are going to share in that reward. That's the way God works. Because it's a team effort. You don't know. My friend, please sit down. God bless you. My friend, Pastor Wilson, he comes here once in a while. Very sad story. Are you blessed this morning? His neighbor walked past him, and the Holy Spirit said to him, go and preach to him. Now. The Holy Spirit told him, this guy can die anytime. Go and preach to him. The man walked past him and greeted him, and he answered. My friend procrastinated. 12 midnight, there was a cry in that man's house. He died that night. He called us. Hey, he was afraid. I said, see your life. Because when Satan speaks to many of you, you will be saying, it's Satan, but you don't know God's voice. Say, something told me. Which something? But when Satan is talking to you, that one is very clear. God spoke to him this evening. That night, midnight, the man shouted, maybe something happened to him in a dream, and he didn't wake up again. That man eternally lost if he was not in Christ. Tell your neighbor, find your park. So today is not for long message. You know, our cell leaders have said everything. So I'm just going to touch on a few things. I want to talk about benefits of being part of a love community or cell community. Benefits. This particular exhortation is useful for you. And please, if somebody is sleeping beside you, wake them. Because Satan's strategy is sleep. When Jesus went to pray, Peter slept. The ogre of the church, senior pastor, slept. When his Gio is praying. So when he slept, James said, okay, well, Peter has slept. Let me also sleep. Then John too did the same thing. So your actions can affect others. Your obedience to God can affect others. Stop thinking that what you are doing, only you is involved. Your fervency in the spirit can affect others. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, by God's grace, you will not be cold. Your fire will not go out. In Jesus' name. 5 benefits of being part of a cell or a love community. Number 1, we are able to serve each other. by washing each other's feet. We are able to serve each other by washing each other's feet. In John chapter 13, verse 12 to 16. John chapter 13, verse 12 to 16. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down, again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? That's a question. Do you know what I've done to you? By washing your feet, do you know what I've done for you? Do you know what I've done to you? Next verse. He said, you call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. I'm your master. He said, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, then you ought to wash each other. You have to wash each other's feet. Where there is dirt, where there is mud, the moment you have seen it, it is your responsibility to wash it, not to add to the problem. Within a community of a cell, we are able to serve each other, help each other, remove the stain of each other. So anybody can say, oh, the world is dirty, the world, but if you sweep your compound and I sweep my compound, the world will be clean. That's the power of a cell. Come on, tell your neighbor, we need to serve each other. We need to wash each other's feet. This is one of the benefits of a cell. And you know, some of you remember some of the testimonies of healings that was shared this morning. Very powerful. There are those testimonies that we share in the church. One of our brothers was sharing with me last Sunday after the service. You know, I requested that those with ear infections or ear problems in their ear, and he was healed instantly. He wanted to share his testimony, and I said, well, maybe next Sunday, because we have already shared the grace. So you can have those kind of healings also in the cell. Yes. You can have those kind of healings. And the thing about love is that love will make everybody equal. Even though I am your Lord, but I serve you. Therefore, you must serve each other. Yes. That's what God is saying. Number two, benefit of being part of a love community or a cell group. Our strength is amplified in battles. Our strength is amplified in battles. When you are in a group, when you belong to a local church, when you belong to a cell, your strength is amplified in spiritual battle. In Judges chapter 3, from verse 28 to 30. Judges chapter 3, verse 28 to 30. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. And they went down after him, and took the forts of Jordan towards Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. 29. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, and lost all lusty, all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. Verse 30. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest four score years. How many years make up a score? 20. So that means they had rest for what? 80 years. Because a group of people decided to go to face a particular battle together. Their strength was amplified. And the land had rest. That means there are battles you can face in your family. And 80 years, no demon will raise his head again. No demon. Because they know that if they try it, you are still in that group that brought the first defeat. This is why we must belong to an accountable cell. We must belong to a local church, because when there is battle, you can rest on the strength of the group, the cell structure, the local church you belong to, and draw the anointing, because there's something called the corporate anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your strength is amplified in battles. Number three is that we enjoy the corporate presence of the Holy Spirit. We enjoy the corporate presence of the Holy Spirit when we belong to a love community or to a local church or a cell fellowship. We enjoy the corporate presence of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, this is a perfect scripture for a cell. This is the perfect scripture for a cell. This is the perfect scripture for a cell. Look at this scripture. It says, for where two or three are gathered, does that look like a cell? Can you see that scripture? Matthew 18:20. It says, where two or three of you are gathered in my name. Does that look like a cell? He said, I will be there. I won't send angel. I will be there. Hallelujah. Which is why you can hear of all those testimonies that was being shared here, because every time you gather, Jesus is there. Hallelujah. So you enjoy the corporate presence of those. Sometimes when you pray, I don't know, some of you might have had that experience, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in your room as you are praying. You can feel an anointing there, but that anointing can become amplified when you are in a group of two or three members of a cell fellowship or in a church. You experience what we call the corporate presence of the Holy Spirit. So that anointing will be multiplied. That presence will be multiplied. Not because God is not in your house, but because where two or three are gathered, he has promised that he will be there. That's what the Bible says. So when somebody is telling you, don't go for cell fellowship or don't go to church on Sunday, then the question is, what will you be doing at home? Answer, what will you be doing at home? You will watch Netflix. You will wash clothes. You will cook for those who went to church and God blessed. Don't allow the devil to cheat. You see, the devil is a very old devil. This devil is a very old devil. The strategy has not changed. Once the devil convinces you of a reason why you cannot be in the company of believers, ha! See, even if it is Anglican church you are going to, if that's your church, you must go on Sunday. Yes. If that's your church, that they know that this is your church, you must be there. Even if the pastor preach and you sleep all through the message, but you must be there. Yes. You must be there. There's a particular brother, when I was younger, he had so many problems and he came for, there was a vigil we were doing then, you know, in church. And the brother came around. He was so frustrated, I think, tired. He just came. In those days in the church, we used benches. Some of you did not attend church when we were using benches. Nobody buy conference hall chairs. Nobody will for what? What do you need? See, look for bench and sit down. Maybe one bench can take like 10 people. So even when you want to sleep, somebody shout at you and it's moving your body. You can't sleep in this church for what? Who are you? Or if you attend church in barrack, where a soldier is the usher. Yeah, I'm not joking. Ah, Yvonne, am I lying? You people don't know I'm trying here. Go to that church in the other side, that side, where the soldier is the usher. They'll use Bilala to wake you up when you sleep. You people don't appreciate what we're... Yeah, we just blow you. You cannot... You want to sleep here? This is the usher of the church. You look like the Anakims, like Goliath. This is a soldier. You have to be careful here. You prepare before you come. You sleep at home. Then you come here, you be looking straight. If you sleep anywhere, you see. If you do anywhere here, you see. It's not a matter of church. This one, we are soldiers here. Even the chaplain is a soldier. What are you talking about? You come here, be talking anyhow. If you, they just take you outside and show you. And change them for you. So the brother slept at the back, frustrated. But do you know that God went there to touch him? He has lost his business, lost his family, lost everything. He was so frustrated, he just came to church during the vigil. He could not pray. He just went to the back bench. After that vigil, things just started happening. I'm not saying you should go to VG and sleep. I'm just telling you how merciful our God is. When you have no other place to turn to, find your way to the house of God. That's what David taught us, King David. See, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is a place of value. You are pushed on every side. Pastor, are you around? I'm coming. When you come, lie down here. Be talking to your God. That's all. That brother did not know. Frustration brought him. But when he left that church, he came back. Say, I came here, I slept. I could not pray. I could not sing. I could not. But after that vigil, the next morning, somebody called him. And his life began to take a new shape. Don't take spiritual things for granted. Yes. If you sleep in the devil's house, you will wake up possessed. Yes. If you sleep in the devil's house, if you go to Ogugu's shrine, or Amadioa, and sleep there, if you come back, I have to do deliverance before I allow you to enter this church. Because you and demons have slept together. Why do we dedicate children? It's because we believe that when we pray for children or young babies, when they come here, because the power of God rests upon them. They are not wayward like other children. Aha. Hallelujah. So it's very important to know these things. That when we are together, our strength is amplified in spiritual battles. We are able to strengthen ourselves. Number four. Or what number now? We can, this one is, let me look for a simple way to say it. I'm not speaking intergalactic language. We can press into deep things together. The deep things of God. Like being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being baptized and filled the Holy Ghost afresh. You know, when the disciples were being persecuted and they released Peter and John, the Bible said they went back to their own company. To their own company. Not the whole church. Their own company. That company is made up of 12 men. The apostles. And they started praying. They were able to, and the Bible says when they concluded the prayer, the building shook to its foundation. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. Because there are things that can happen to you in this life. You become depressed. You will lose anointing. You begin to leak anointing. You begin to depreciate in your capacity to deliver. When life happens to people, if somebody dies or somebody passes on, you can't expect them to be praying like somebody, just the way somebody who is not believed is. So that is when the church comes around. In those days, I don't know how it is now, but in those days when somebody passes on and a member of the church, church members will share themselves. You will go there in the morning. Some will come in the afternoon. Some will come in the night. They will not allow you to do anything. They will cook for you, wash your clothes, do everything because they know you mentally you are not there. You can't do anything. They will be there even after the burial. They will stay with you, strengthen you, encourage you till you are strong enough to come back to church. So we are family not only in good times, but also in bad times. You will not know the value of commitment in a church or in a cell until, God forbid, something happens. God forbid, if something happens, you know, one of our brothers was sharing a testimony here. And their baby was ill. But, you know, there's a way something can happen to you. You will not be able to drive. And I went with them to the hospital. The doctor sat down and crossed his leg and told us that he cannot do anything because the nurse that locked the cupboard, they don't know where she is. The injection he wants to give the child is in that box. I said, okay. So, you know, the father was so pressed. He could not even speak back. I was the one asking, so why don't you get up and look for the nurse? You know. Ah! I just grabbed the baby myself, took the mother into the car, left the father there, started running to General Hospital. There are situations you will go through, no matter your anointing. You will be slow. You will not be able to move. You need the support of your family members to come around you and take charge of the steering. You can't drive in that state now. So we need it. We need each other. You're making, having 10,000 followers on Instagram does not equal to having a friend. Because I'm following you, you are following me, is because we are looking for, we want our account to be, want to have that blue tick, Abby. We want to make money. So we are all deceiving ourselves. After you get 100,000 followers, how many of those accounts are genuine? What people say, Pastor Bingas account. Now wash. Nothing there. How many of them can you call that you are sick and they will leave what they are doing and start coming? That's what how you know family. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother or than a sister. So we're able to enter into deep things of God. We are able to fellowship. We are able to grow. You know, you have some of these friends. You know, I don't know, these days, you know, school has changed. But in those days, when you say someone is your friend. Now, let me tell you. Last week, I think I spoke to Pastor Desmond, my friend, maybe once or two, about twice or so, during the week. So the first call I made, I spoke to him for like, maybe over an hour. Then my wife came and said, "Are you pastor talking? What are you discussing?" I said, "We are just talking." So it was on speaker. Then she started talking to my friend. I said, "Okay, go. We have not finished our conversation." My wife started disturbing me. So I now say, "Bishop, hold on." I called the call. I say, "I told you I'm talking to my friend." Yeah. Pastor Desmond called back. We spent another 1 hour 30 minutes. Yes. It's not until I get into a Uber and go to his house. I load the credit. When the credit finishes, we move to WhatsApp. Yes. How many of those people can you call that you say they are your friends? Meanwhile, friendship is a deliberate step. The Bible says that must have friends, must show himself friendly. You must be someone that is open, that people can approach. Not because you're a prayer warrior, you'll be squeezing your face as if you're the only one seeing God. Say, Brother Marcus, just close one eye. Using the other eye to peruse and look around the terrain, the spiritual terrain. It's a lie. We too, we are spiritual. But we dey play. We dey play. You can't just come here and be terrorizing us with your prayer life. Terrorize us to your prayer life. My friend was sick. After fasting, he started having pains in his stomach. Called his other friend that is a prayer warrior. Now say, we need to pray. He said, so the other friend, I say, don't mind this guy. Let me call our other friend that is a pharmacist. Now and I say, Pastor. Say, Pastor Desmond. Say, you are not taking enough water. Say, so start every day. My friend will take like a jar of water and start drinking. And the thing went. Meanwhile, the other prayer warrior among them say, we have to pray. He says it's not prayer matter. Let's listen to the prayer is good. I'm also a Christian, but let's listen to the pharmacist. Pharmacist say, Pastor, it's not prayer. You need to be drinking a lot of water. You can't be fasting 40 days, 60 days, 100 days. If somebody fasts 100 days in 1 year, oh boy, respect that person. Meanwhile, you every time you even sleep, they still bring the food to you. In your dream, they bring the food. Oh my God, my time is up. It's a dangerous thing. If angel is not coming to you, heaven is not coming, spiritual things, but you ate amala, then you slept, they brought on the jam. Then you now wonder why your prayer life is down completely. He said, it's you. And you will still not go for sale. Hallelujah. So when we come together in fellowship, we advance in spiritual things. We are able to get into the deep things of God. If you have a friend that is prophesying, you can ask them personal question. How does this thing work? You can ask questions. Now I told you, today is not for long message. Those who came yesterday for the prayer, they heard very strong message. But I will come back, and if God give me grace, I will preach that message that day. Everybody wear khaki. We can trigger angelic activity through our corporate prayers in a cell. We can trigger. Angels can begin to move and work for us when we are in small groups. And the scripture for this is in Acts chapter 12, 5 to 11. When Peter was arrested, the Bible says a few of them came together and they started praying. They started praying until the angel of the Lord went to the prison, discharged him, gave him bail without paying, brought him out, brought him back to his to the house, and people were still praying. Even after the angel came there, they were still praying. Why? That only happens where you are known in small groups, where they know you, not just because it's Peter. Not just because it's Peter. Angels moved when believers prayed. It was not the main church that prayed. It was just a group of them that came. And they met in one of the members' house. And they started praying. They started praying till the angel went to the prison, discharged Peter, brought him to where they were praying. God will always lead you to where they are praying for you. Are you here now? Yeah. So don't joke with prayers, though. Are you with me now? Don't joke with prayers. And I prophesy, your prayers will be answered today. Amen. Let me round up with this short exhortation by reading Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. God's commitment to your consistent victory is when you are part of the church, not an outsider. Not somebody that just attends church, but somebody who is a child of God. If you are here and you are not born again, you are attending church. But today, you have an opportunity to give your life to Christ. In case you think you are born again, let me explain further. If you are still fornicating, or you are changing figures in the office, or you resume at 8:30, you write 8 o'clock. I'm trying to help you understand the people I'm talking to now. So you need to give your life to Christ. Because sometimes when we say, give your life, Christ, it looks like a general statement. You need Jesus in your life. Jesus said, the guarantee for your consistent victory in life is when you are part of the church. He said, go back to verse 18. He said, the gates of hell will come against you, but they will not prevail. They will not prevail. And you don't have to be like me, as it were. When I gave my life to Christ, we used to wear sandals on suit. You understand? Nobody cares. We just love God. Sometimes we even wear slippers. Between slippers and we hold mic. Nobody cares. We just love God. No phone, no internet in those days. No email. Then when they told us to create email, we say dragonfly333@yahoo.com. You know what? Very strange things. Some of you still have that first email. Are you here now? That email with a strange address. So if you are here, you have not given your life to Christ, listen to me. That's the best decision you can make for yourself today. And we are most privileged and happy to welcome you if you are in that category today. Hallelujah. So that's the best decision you can make to come to Jesus and start a fresh relationship with Him. Start a new deal with God. God knows you, and before you are born into this world, He has a purpose for your life. Whether you know it or not is irrelevant. God has a purpose for your life. But you might have been a church attendee. You have not really made up your mind to serve Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, if any man comes to me, I will not turn him aside. So the Lord will help us in Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. So before I take my seat and we go into the next part of the service, please close your eyes. I want to give somebody here an opportunity. If you are here and you are not born again, I would like to pray for you personally. Please raise your hand wherever you are. Don't be ashamed. You know in your heart of heart that you are not a child of God. Raise your hand if you are there very quickly, so I can see you. I would like to pray for you.